It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
The 401 Files explores the world of the unexplained, cryptids and more. Subscribe now to the 401 Files on YouTube and join the adventure into the unknown.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Paratalk. And on this episode, I am once again joined by the one and only Mr. Shrouded Hand. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. You good?
I'm good. I could do a bit more summer, but I'm good. I'm okay.
Yeah, it's not been. We had a couple of days where it was warm, wasn't it? And then it was just miserable.
Yeah. I English summer times are always a little bit. A little bit hit and miss, but normally we do get a couple of weeks of really nice weather, but I'm still waiting. What about you? Is it nicer up there or what?
No, it's been pretty horrible, really, raining constantly. I feel like this is a tradition of our, when we have a talk, we spend a good portion of the beginning of the podcast talking about the weather. Well, there's always something to say about it.
Yeah, I think that the weather is important. The weather is important because it is a kind of how can I put it? It's a kind of it puts you in the right mood, puts you in the right frame of mind. If it's pouring with rain, it's always cozy. If you're pouring with rain, you play computer games. You know, if it's lovely and sunny, you get out and go exploring and do your thing. But you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to sort of relive my childhood. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, it's not been a nice summer so far, but could be worse, I suppose.
It could be. It could be a lot worse. But are you all done moving now?
I moved in. Yes. Still living out of boxes a lot of it, but you know, I've still got all my books. My books are all boxed up, and so it feels like I'm not fully settled in, but. You know, I've got my computer set up. That's the most important thing.
Well, yeah.
It's nice.
First thing you do when you move in, get that internet connected.
Yeah.
Get your internet connected and you're ready to go, you know.
Yeah, it's a nice quiet area and I'm enjoying walking around. Like, I go on late night walks with my dog, you know, about midnight. Mm. And it's strange compared to where I used to live, where there was always some kind of strange character walking around at night. It's absolutely dead. It's like everyone goes to bed at about 11 o'clock. So you're walking around these empty streets, all the lights are out. You've just got it. You know, I put on like some kind of spooky podcast or, you know, some one of these YouTube channels that narrates creepy stories. And I just walk around in the dark, listening to these stories, walking the dog.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think we, before, I mean, before we sort of, you know, we when we grow up, we kind of, you kind of get imprinted with where you, you know, where you used to live. And I used to live in the country. I was pretty much brought up in the country. I mean, I was born in a city, and then my parents really, you know, we don't want to live here no more. We moved out of the city, and we moved to the country, and we moved to sort of a small little bungalow in the country, and that's where I kind of mainly grew up, in those kind of places. And it was like, I kind of yearn for that now, to go back to that kind of the country life, and where it's just quiet and there's like a little corner shop and everyone knows everyone and everyone says good morning and hello. And you know, and it, I kind of miss that. And I kind of understand where you're coming from. Where you can go out, you could walk around, it's just dead. It's just, there's no shifty blokes everywhere. There's no weirdness. It's just nice. It's just nice and quiet.
Yeah, now I've turned into the shifty bloke who you see like on the street corner at night.
you're the oddballs that have moved in.
Yeah, I'm the one who people are probably looking out the window going, "What's that guy doing?"
Yeah. Why is his bedroom light on all night? What's he doing up there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. You know, they don't know. They don't know. They have no idea. Anyway, this episode we're going to I think I've touched on this before. With Gareth, I did an episode with Gareth, I think, on Time Slips, but it was a long time ago. And I thought, well, you know, let's revisit it. Let's see if I can find something new. And we have. I know you've got a few interesting little cases. But before we dive in, have you ever experienced anything a bit weird like that? A bit time slippy?
I don't think so. No, I don't know. The only thing I can think of is there's been times where I've woken up and looked at the clock and seen it's a certain time and then fell asleep for what felt like hours and then woke up and looked at the clock and it's either the time is earlier than I remembered it being before or it's like a couple of minutes gone past and it's just odd. But that's probably some weird sleep thing. I don't know. But I've never experienced anything where I've been like awake and some kind of weird glitch in the matrix has happened to me like that. Not that I can think of.
One of the things that I have experienced, and it's most probably a mental thing. It's mostly something to do with my brain. But I wear a lot of mechanical watches, and I also wear, you know, with the second hand going around. And sometimes when you look at the watch and you go to look at the time, it's almost like the watch, the second hand, has stopped for a millisecond.
Yeah.
It's almost like that. Or when you look at a scene and you feel that for a moment, it's like there's a glitch there. And it's most probably my brain not working properly, or I'm, you know, processing information differently or not right. But I get that sometimes, a little kind of weird. And I know what you mean about waking up. I've had dreams where here's another weird thing, is where you dream that you get up and you get changed and you have your breakfast and you're ready for work and you're sat on the sofa, I don't know, reading a book or whatever, and then you wake up again. And so all of that previously was a dream.
Yeah, I've had things like that. Yeah, I've had dreams like where it was almost I was in a loop where I just kept waking up, and then I'd like wake up again and I'd be in bed, and then I'd wake up again and I'd be in bed, and it was like I was in like layers, like a, you know, like an onion, just layers of dreams. So I was waking up into another dream, and I think I was awake, and I'd wake up again, and it was like, I don't know whether I was feverish at the time or something, but it was weird. I felt completely like I was trapped in some kind of weird loop.
Inception, you were doing the layered dreaming. Yeah. So you were down deep, you know?
Yeah, but I remember feeling like I was trapped. Like I kept thinking, oh, I'm finally awake. And then waking up again, oh God, I'm awake. And I just felt like I couldn't get myself to actually wake up properly. And I felt like I was fully trapped in some kind of dream loop thing.
Have you ever been anywhere and thought, hang on, I've been here before?
Yeah. And I've had that happen to me, and I've been able to recall a dream that I've had that looked exactly like the place where I've been. And I've never been there before. You know, like I'll pull in on a train will pull into a station. I often dream about train stations, weirdly enough. And a few times I've pulled into a train station I've never been to before. I think, hold on. I've been here before. I've seen this, and I can recall a dream where I've been there. So I don't know whether that's some. I wonder sometimes if you know how you dream about like past events, whether ever like future events can like slip in.
Long time ago, I worked in a building. We had a storeroom, and the storeroom had these boxes that stacked up to the ceiling. And I always thought to myself, stacking boxes that high is quite dangerous, because if those boxes at the top toppled, it would all come down, it would create a big mess. And I always thought that, okay?
Mm.
I had a dream, in my dream, I had a dream that the boxes at the top become dislodged and they all fell down, right?
Yeah.
Now, it could be coincidence, right? But these boxes went all the way along. They weren't like it just one area. It was like all the way along a back wall. And I came to work the following day or a few days later. And what had happened was what I dreamt, that these certain area of boxes where they were stacked quite high had all toppled forward and they'd all fallen down and created a right old mess on the floor. And it kind of stunned me for a while, because I said to one of the chaps, look, I dreamt this. And of course they laughed and called me like mental. But, you know, I dreamt that this had happened. And because I thought to myself, I know what's going to happen. And maybe my brain made a little cartoon up in my head and I had it as a dream and it was a big coincidence. Or did I dream the future? Who knows?
I mean, apart from that, what I was saying before about visiting a place and feeling like I've been there in a dream, I the only time I can recall ever dreaming like something along those lines, and this might be a bit, you know, this might be stretching it a bit, I don't know. But there was a time where I dreamt and I had this really vivid, weird dream that, you know, when you have a dream and you wake up and you think that was significant in some way.
Yeah.
It feels more, I don't know, more detailed than other dreams. I can't remember, I was in a weird building and there was a girl walking towards me and she just was looking at me funny. And then as she passed me, I got this like weird feeling like, what was that? And I turned around and looked at her and she had the head of a bird.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah, you know, like a black bird of some sort, right? And then the very next day, I was in the car, my wife was driving along, and this black bird just flew out right in front of the car. There was like no way she could have avoided it. And it just crashed into the car, into the grill, went under the car. And my wife was really shocked. Like it was dead on the road. And she said, like, she just remembered looking into the rearview mirror and seeing this bird on the floor, like dead behind the car as she was driving away. So I don't know whether that was anything to do with the dream, but I remember at the time thinking that's weird. Cause I remember having that dream about the bird and like looking back and seeing this woman with the bird's head. And she was just like looking back at me, like in a weirdly like significant way, you know, like it had some meaning to it.
Have you ever met people, in your dreams, and you remember them so well that you feel that you've met them in your life, or you meet people later on in your life and they're very similar to the people you've dreamed about?
I've never met anyone who I thought, oh, I've met you in a dream before, but I've had dreams about people who have, you know, people I've never met in real life.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it feels like I'm having like some kind of deep, meaningful interaction with them where it feels more than just a dream in some way. Like someone's like telling me things that, I don't know, like, I remember I've had a few times where I've had a dream where there's someone sat there telling me things and I'm thinking, wow, my God, this is like a big revelation. And then when I wake up, I try and make sense of what they said to me. And it's like my waking brain can't make sense. Like it just doesn't make any sense. And then what they said like evaporates. This is as if it just doesn't like compute to my waking mind. But in the dream, it's like, it feels really like deep and meaningful in some way. Like they're revealing some kind of working of the universe to me.
Yeah, so it's definitely a weird phenomenon. But anyway, we're here for time slips.
Well, I think the stories I've got are more like parallel universe or glitches in the matrix, you know.
I think it all comes under the same umbrella, really.
You think? Yeah.
Anything weird like that. I mean, so time slip. Let's just see what it says. It says time slip cases are an intriguing phenomenon where individual claims to have experienced a sudden shift in time, witnessing scenes, events from the past or future. So that's the kind of, you know, the narrative of time slips. So it kind of covers everything. I mean, we're talking about dream. We had a little talk about dreams and stuff. But I do think that it's all part of the same thing. I think that you can in dream, if you're dreaming of a place or an event, you could be dreaming of a, you know, you could be traveling. I don't know. You know, I don't know, have all the answers. I'm just speculating. But you could be traveling to a different place in when you're in your sleep. I don't know. Before we jump ahead, because you've got a really, you've got one that's really interesting. But before we jump ahead, let's just go for the most, I mean, most people are going to know the Bold Street, Liverpool, where, you know, just to quickly recap, Liverpool, Bold Street, is a reputation of time slip occurrences. One famous incident involves a policeman named Frank, who reported that while shopping with his wife in the 1990s, he suddenly found himself in the 1950s. He absorbed old-fashioned shops and people dressed in 1950s clothing. After a few minutes, everything returned to the 1990s. So he got a glimpse of the past in the 50s whilst he was waiting for his wife, and they were in the 1990s.
And from what I remember of that story, there was actually someone, like, there was another woman he saw who also seemed to be experiencing the time slip with him, because she was coming out of a shop and he said, "Well, did you see that?" And she was like, "Yeah, that was weird," because she saw a shop turn into like a clothes shop, and she was like, I was about to go into this clothes shop, and then it turned back into real time and it wasn't a clothes shop anymore.
There is another case of individuals in that area who were in a cafe and they witnessed witnessed this cafe going into changing into what it would previously been back in the olden days, you know, when that kind of era, the earlier era. They noticed that all of the decor had changed, the lighting had changed. They didn't feel any change themselves. They just witnessed it as it would have been years previous. So there's lots of weirdness that have gone around in that area in Liverpool.
I don't know if you know the channel called Beyond Creepy.
No.
I recommend him. He just finds the weirdest stories. He's one of the ones I've been listening to as I've been walking around my nighttime dog walks. But I think the story originally appeared in a Jenny Randall's book.
Okay, yeah.
It might be called Time Storms. I don't know off the top of my head. But this is an interesting one. Let me just find it here. I'll go for the details. So, this happened in Somerset, July 1974. So Peter and his wife, they'd been having a barbecue in their back garden, and there was suddenly a big thunderstorm.
Right.
Their dog started to get freaked out and went to hide under a tree. Peter Williamson, like, obviously thinking the dog shouldn't be under a tree, it'll get hit by lightning, went over to, you know, pick the dog up, take it inside. And then all of a sudden, there was a huge lightning strike. A big flash that blinded. I think there were also other guests there at the time, like other friends at the barbecue, and everyone was suddenly blinded by this big flash of light. And when they recovered their vision, Peter was gone. And for the next 3 days, they looked around all over for him, and they couldn't find him anywhere. Eventually, they found him. He was in a next-door neighbor's garden, which was completely locked up, and he was just lying there on the ground. They found him just soaked through because it had been raining, as if he'd just been lying there for 3 days straight. And, he had no memory of what had happened to him. He had, complete amnesia until he started to have weird dreams. And it was he said the dreams were really vivid. And he couldn't tell whether they were memories or just he was just having strange dreams. But he remembered being in a hospital, and he remembered the doctors and nurses. He remembered the names of the doctors who were coming to see him. They were just sort of taking care of him. But he said that the memories were kind of hazy, as if like the like he remembered the hospital kind of like shifting around him, like it was kind of a bit unstable, almost like it was going like hazing in and out. He was having all kinds of tests done on him and things like that. Eventually, he managed to remember the name of the hospital he was at. And it was like this little like cottage hospital that was kind of a few miles away from where he lived. He remembered that he stayed at this hospital for a few days. And then he decided to just get up and walk home. And then as he was walking home, that was it. The memory ends. And that's when he was found lying in the next door neighbor's garden next to a pond. The thing is, this might all just be a dream, right?
Yeah.
But he managed to track down this was a real hospital up the road. He managed to go there, and he'd never been to this hospital before. He'd never met any of the staff who worked there before. He managed to track down the doctors that he saw. He knew the name of the doctors from his dreams. He managed to track down that same doctor and speak to him. And the doctor had no memory of him staying at the hospital. It was as if he'd sort of jumped into a completely different parallel universe with this hospital, with the same staff, where he remembered being there. And they had no, like, in his reality, they had no memory of him being there. He hadn't actually been there in their reality.
So a little bit like the TV show Quantum Leap.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
What if I'm playing... I'm thinking a little bit outside the box here. What if he was something, the lightning strike created some sort of phenomenon, which we don't know about, and it replaced him into another person's, like Quantum League, he becomes another person.
Oh, like he jumps into someone else's body.
That's where his memories from the hospital come from. Or maybe he did come to that hospital, like you said. He did come to the hospital, but in a parallel dimension.
Yeah. The only thing I can say to the sort of jumping into another body, Quantum Leap style, is that he also remembered another patient who was there with him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm just trying to find it in the story here because I'm trying to remind myself, you know, I'm going off the top of my head. But I also think that the doctors had no knowledge of this other patient who was there at the same time as him. So it sort of makes me think it was more like a parallel reality.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of. I mean, there are lots of cases where we have time slips. I mean, I've got a couple where people see events that don't seem to gel with our own reality. I mean, for example, if you think about the case that happened to the couple in 1979, where it was featured on the TV show Strange But True, and it was two couples, and they went to France for their caravan break or whatever it was. They went for a break anyway. They're two couples out in the countryside. They found this little hotel, and they thought, well, we're gonna stay here for the night, but it was like more like a farmhouse. And anyway, they parked the car up on the side of the road, went into this abode. There was a chap there behind a desk, and the guy's French was, you know, it's enough to communicate. And they communicated that they wanted a room, and they said, yeah, upstairs. They got their room. They went up, they had something to eat, they went up, and it was all very rustic, very sort of, you know, basic, but they thought that was quite the part of the charm of being out in the country. They went up, they went to bed. They had the one thing they did notice, that the windows didn't have any glass in them. They had the shutters that you pull closed. So there was no glass in the windows. But they thought, you know, all part of the charm. It was quite warm anyway. They had their sleep. They got up in the morning. They came downstairs. They had their coffee and their croissants or whatever, their morning breakfast. And when they were in there, police came in, gendarmes came in, and they had one thing they noticed, that they had older style uniforms with the, you know, the cape and all that, and the little hat. And they thought, you know, that's a bit odd, but maybe this is a small village and that's how they dress. We don't know. We don't know what their customs are here. They came in, they had a conversation, and they wanted to ask which way they need to go to get onto a road, you know, to get out of there, you know. And they had a kind of a broken conversation, and they pointed a certain way they needed to go. They offered to pay, and they got their money out, modern money, because they had their, all of their stuff was on there. They offered to pay, and the guy was like, no. And I was like, oh, that's very nice of them. It's very sort of charming, you know. You fed us, you give them some room, and you don't need to pay. So off they go. While they were there, before they left, they got by the car, they got the family, and they took a few pictures of themselves with the place in the background. So it was a bit of a memory, holiday pictures. Back in those days, it was all film, 35mm film. Off they went. But when they went off on their holiday and carried on, and they decided to come back and stay there again before they returned to England, they couldn't find it. They couldn't find the area. And they got a little bit of an argument ensued because they thought they were in the wrong place. No, you've gone the wrong way. There's only one road. It can't be, you know, it's just fields. There's nothing there. Mm. So they go back to England and they get all their, back in those days, you send your pictures off to be done to the lab, get their pictures developed. All their pictures came back. It was like four or five pictures of the last shots of the roll of film were of the area that they'd stayed with, this farmhouse, this, you know, B&B, whatever you want to call it. But all of those film were blank. It was just completely nothing on them. Like they'd been exposed to light and there was no picture or anything on the negative. And they thought, well, that's a bit weird. So they looked into the area, okay, and they thought, well, there must have been a building there at some point. You know, we must have got it wrong. We must have gone the wrong way. Now, this is where the story kind of gets a bit weird, because apparently there was a building there. Some cases state that it was like a post office. There was it was gone a long, long time ago. So they decided, well, how else can we date where we were? So they looked at the uniform of the police, the gendarmes that came in, and they dated back to the early 19th century. So that means that they would have to some way time slipped all the way back to, you know, early France at the turn of the century. Were they living in a, did they go back in time to that, you know, to that era? And the reason that the pictures didn't come out was because what they were photographing wasn't really a part of our reality. Now, this case was, you know, it was written about quite a lot. I mean, you say Strange But True covered it, and it was in a lot of books and magazines, and the people that it happened to, they were quite sincere about their story. Why would you make something up like this and, you know, only to be ridiculed? But so, there was a lot of research done on the Fortean Times website. They really looked into it. And people were really split on what had happened to these people. Some people said, oh, well, they just were confused and they, you know, they confused the area. They did stay somewhere, but they kind of thought it was more than what it was. Other people said that they made it up. Other people said that they'd hallucinated it. Well, that would be pretty amazing if it was four people hallucinating the same thing for a whole night. That would be pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And other people say, well, maybe it did happen to them, because there's lots of these cases out there. But that's one case where people actually go back and interact with stuff.
Yeah, that suggests it's more than just like a vision. It's that, like, speaking to people who are of that time and moving around the space. And yeah.
One thing that I've always thought about was, if they park their car outside, right, they're in a modern car, right? And if you think that they actually did go back to the turn of the century, where motor vehicles were, you know, there were motor vehicles, but they were very, very rare and they weren't all over the place. Most people would still ride bikes and, you know, more sort of basic forms of transport. When these police turned up on their push bikes or whatever they were on, or in their little car or whatever, wouldn't they have looked at that vehicle and have thought, what's this? This is very modern, very futuristic. What's it doing here? Now, the only thing I can think of is they didn't see the car because it wasn't of their era. So they wouldn't have seen it. They wouldn't have acknowledged it. They wouldn't have been able to process that information. It might have been there, but they wouldn't have been able to understand what they were seeing. Or maybe because it wasn't in their time frame, I'm using very basic wording here, but maybe it wasn't in their time, their scope of understanding of that era, that they didn't see it. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of thoughts about that aspect of it. One is that they either thought it was weird and didn't say anything, because I've heard lots of cases where police will see something strange and then they'll be told by their superiors, like, you know, don't mention it. It'll make you look crazy. It'll affect your chances of a promotion or, you know, something like that. Or it did happen. They thought it was weird. They, you know, they logged it, but it happened maybe it didn't happen in our timeline. So we look back for some kind of record of the police seeing this futuristic car, and it won't appear because, you know, they slipped back in time, but it happened similar to the last case, maybe in some kind of parallel timeline. So, you know, we'll have no history of these police seeing something strange, but in their timeline, they'll have a story of the time these police saw a futuristic vehicle and people dressed strangely.
I'm sure that lots of listeners out there are very aware of the many worlds theory, that we are one of many, many, you know, incantations of ourselves. And, you know, we all exist on multiple levels of existence. And that, you know, that sometimes those planes of existence touch together, and that, you know, weird things happen. Mm-hmm. The veil is thinnest, sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, if somebody experiences something and they can't find any record of it, that's not to say that that event didn't happen. It might have happened in a different plane of existence. And it sounds a bit crazy and a bit wacky that, you know, maybe that there's lots of us out there doing the same thing, or maybe something slightly different, or maybe in some planes of existence we don't even exist anymore. Maybe we weren't fortunate to be where we are now, or maybe we were very fortunate and we become very whatever, we got a great job or very powerful or whatever. So we're not all doing the same stuff, but maybe they cross over and have an experience, and when they come back, there's no record of them having that experience. Like with the hospital, with the chap Peter Williamson, he dreams of this hospital that where he believes he was for those few days. Yet there's no record in our, you know, in our environment that he was ever there. And the doctors don't understand. Well, what's he on about?
And it's a scary thought, because I don't know. Like, what if you? The fact that it may be possible to change either to a different time or to a different reality completely. The idea that you could get like stuck somewhere like that. You know, all these stories of people just disappearing without a trace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's one of the things that fascinate me with the 411 stuff and the people that go missing in national parks and all over the place, not just national parks, and all over the world, people just vanish. And I think to myself, yeah, a lot of that is maybe people fall, they have a fall, they have an accident and they're not found. Yeah, that's completely plausible. And that does happen. That's a fact. But there are cases out there where people have just disappeared, just vanished. And some of those people don't want to be found. They vanish because they want to vanish. But there are other people out there that just disappear. They're not found again. And when you look back at their lives and you look back what's leading up to them vanishing, there's nothing weird in their life that's happening to show any clues to what might happen to them or what they might do. It's just they go out one day, they go for a walk, or they go to a place, wherever they go, and they're never seen again. And and you think, wow, what's happening there? There's no, it's just like the whole sort of thing goes cold.
You could just be walking along one day and then poof, you're gone.
You're gone.
Trapped somewhere else.
In another place where it's like a completely different life. You don't know where you are. Nobody knows who you are. You could walk down the road and then you go into a different plane of existence, a different timeline, and things carry on for you as normal.
Yeah, that's like the Mandela effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some people say it's like how they remember things happening from their childhood, and other people remember it, but they look it up and it never actually happened.
Yeah, that's creepy, because there are a few things that I really remember from a child, from growing up. Mainly kids' TV shows. And I always remembered a certain theme tune being sung a certain way, or a certain character being a certain way. When I look back, I think, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't. He was a different colour. He was pink. He wasn't blue or whatever. And I think to myself, did I misremember that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it probably is just weird memory. Because your memory, I don't know, the way your memory plays tricks on you as you get older, you know, you do remember things differently. And when you check them out, it's like, oh, that was completely different to how I remember. But I don't know. There are, like I said, there are times where multiple people remember the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's like weirdly specific. And it's like, the theory that we could have just switched to some sort of different timeline at some point. Like that, the one for me is that Fruit of the Loom. Have you seen that one, the Fruit of the Loom logo?
The logo, with the grapes.
Yeah. And it had the, I don't know what it is, like kind of the basket, the sort of shell basket type of thing on it. And apparently they never had that logo. But I have a clear memory of that logo.
I have a memory of that. I have a memory of it being in the basket.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. But is that evidence of a parallel universe?
Did they ever change them? Sure, they must have changed their logo. I'm sure I've got T-shirts with that on it.
Yeah, but apparently they completely deny it. They say their logo's always been just this like fruit thing with, I can't remember what it's got a weird name, this shell-shaped basket thing that's on it. I don't know what it's called, but apparently they've never used that in the logo, but loads of people have a memory of it, and I seem to have a memory of it, so I don't know what's happening there.
I just want to talk about another case a minute, which it adds to it, I think. This is a... This is something that happened in 1979, okay, to a man called Paul Verkors. And he claimed, right, that he was sailing near the coast of South Africa when he encountered an old ship, right, from the 18th century, like an old ship. And he saw the sailors in period clothing, and the ship itself looked like it was weathered. So it looked like it had been at sea for some time, and it was like pretty ancient and, you know, beat up. And as he saw this this scene, it was like the blink of an eye. It was there, and it was gone. So what do you think's happening there? Is he passing through a veil and glimpsing a glimpse of a past? Has he gone back in time and he sort of sees something that's actually happening at that time, or what?
Yeah, I don't know. You hear these stories of ships going missing, you know, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if it's something like that.
Are they sailing like a Bermuda Triangle kind of thing? Are they sailing through a place where they are changing? Maybe that's a crossroads for time streams, and they cross it. As they go across it, they transition, because a lot of
just get a glimpse and then it's gone.
Yeah,
it's passed on to some other time. Yeah,
but a lot of people that are, you know, seafarers, they'll talk about encountering strange weather phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of these stories seem to involve some kind of weird weather event.
Yeah.
You know, the Peter Williamson one, there was a lightning. There's a lot of like storms or some kind of electrical thing going on. I don't know if the fog had any kind of electrical storm going on, but a lot of these stories seem to involve some kind of weird weather phenomena.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a link there, but yeah, I've noticed that from reading through a few of them. That seems to happen.
So if it is a weather phenomenon, okay, and it's basically, say, it's going to have something to do with some form of energy, right? Some sort of energy transfer. If you're in that area, for example, with Peter Williamson, he had there was a lightning strike. Something happened, a big flash, and he was gone. Poof, disappeared. Okay.
Yeah.
So was he teleported, like the game Fallout, when you get teleported to a different place, you know? Was he actually teleported somewhere else, or was he, you know, what happened? What are your thoughts on how they get to where they get to?
It's a question of whether they're actually there or not, because their sort of perception of the world was altered, you know, like a DMT experience or something like that, you know, because your brain's all, you know, it's all electrical signals, isn't it? So I can imagine it's some kind of electrical atmosphere, you know, some kind of something in the atmosphere could affect your perception of the world.
I want to add to that a little bit, because you touch on something that I just came into my head, actually. Long time ago, I had an accident on my push bike. I was going down a hill, and a car in front of me stopped in the centre of the road. And I looked back at my friend. We were going down a hill. Summer day. We were just being kids. And I went straight into the back of this car. Okay.
Yeah.
And I hit my head on the bumper. And I was out of it for, I think it was 3 or 4 days I was in hospital for. And I was unconscious for 3.5 of those days.
Mm.
So they were quite concerned. I had a really badly bruised head, as you can imagine. And I wasn't conscious for 3.5 days. And I woke up with a really bad headache. But I woke up. But I had no memory, and still to this day, I have no memory of the events leading. I have a memory of the events leading up to it, but apparently, when I had my accident, I had no consciousness after that. It's blank. I have no memory of anything from then. But when I woke up, I still thought that I was on my bike trip, if that makes sense, and I couldn't understand why I was in a hospital bed. And that was freaking me out more than having a great big lump and a bandage on my head. But I was so confused that one minute I had a memory of riding down a hill on a summer's day with the wind in my hair, with not a care in the world. And the next minute, in a blink of an eye to me, the next minute I was in a hospital bed with my family around me, my brother and my mum, and my mum was saying to the nurse, he's awake, and the nurse came rushing over and started taking my pulse and my temperature and all the things you do, the nurses do. And the transition is what I'm on about, is the transition period from having that accident to waking up was almost like a click of a finger.
Yeah.
But nearly 4 days had passed. So it was just weird. It was just absolutely weird. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely bizarre. So I can understand where people have these events where they suddenly are transitioned into a different an era or a different place. How uneasy it can make you feel.
Yeah, how disorientating. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another case. I've heard about a case where... Yeah, so this one happened in 1880 in China, to a farmer named Zhu Tan.
Uh-huh.
I guess he experienced a similar thing where it was just like in a blink of an eye, he was somewhere else and he'd lost loads of time. He was, tending in his fields, and he saw what he described as a misty light in the bushes. So again, we have some kind of weird fog type of thing going on. He walks over to it, and all of a sudden he starts to feel himself floating up into the air, and he hears like a sort of humming noise.
Uh-huh.
The next moment, he wakes up, and it's like he's 300 miles away from where he was originally, and it's like 2 weeks later somehow. He's just lost 2 weeks, and he's 300 miles away from home, and it's just like what you described. It's like just a blink. In 1 minute he's somewhere, and next minute it's just a completely different place.
That sounds like a kind of an abduction phenomenon.
Yeah, thing, yeah.
Where he is taken, and then he's got no memory of anything like at the time happening, but then suddenly he's somewhere else. And that's why I do think that I stand by it. I do think that there are a proportion of cases where people go missing that they are transported to a different place altogether, or that they are just zipped out of our timeline into another, and that they just continue. You're out for a walk in the woods and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to go down this path here, yeah? And then you walk down the path and there's a rainstorm and you say, oh, that was awful. And then you walk out the bush, you go, oh, it's lovely, okay? And you've actually passed through somewhere. You no longer exist in your original timeline. You've vanished. Or maybe you go to a reality where everything is new, and that everyone that you know and everything has been kind of cloned. And it's just so bizarre. I mean, I can't get my head around with this stuff. And especially when you've got the people with the likes of Jenny Randall writing and researching stories and putting it into books, and you read stuff like that and you think, well, you know, 300 miles away, the guy traveled three. How did he travel? Did he walk it? Yeah. I don't know.
This was in 1880, so it wasn't like he could have, you know.
It's bizarre. Anyway, Tom, I think we're going to end this episode here, because I think we've covered all we can cover on this episode. But we're definitely going to get another episode together. I think we're going to touch on the kind of simulations and stuff. I think that's make a very interesting episode. Before we close out, I just wanted to ask how your how your channel's going and how your gaming's going.
My channel's going okay, yes. I've been a bit, like, because I've been moving house, I've been a bit sort of slow with getting videos out because it's been a bit stressful moving. So, and the same with the gaming, that's sort of taken a bit of a backseat whilst I was moving house, but I'm back on it. I'm getting back. I've been streaming on Twitch again and, uploading a couple of things to the gaming channel. So, yeah, it's going all right.
Thanks for joining me, Tom. Thanks for joining me on this episode. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we always have good conversations. And thanks to everybody that's listened to these episodes right to the end. It is very much appreciated. Remember, you can like and share as much as you can. Thanks for listening once again, and Tom will return in the near future. Talk to you soon.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list, and every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.